But wait, what about this?
Okay, so what were you going to say?
Well, Yale, I mean, what was your studies?
I studied literary theory.
Oh, good. All right, so let's get into this then, please, because this is the question I've been waiting to ask.
Okay, good.
I pulled this out of my shelf.
Oh,
could you pronounce his name for me?
Roland Barthes.
Thank you.
Roland Barthes.
I had interviewed Colt Cabana, who is a wrestler, and I wanted to read his essay on wrestling again to somehow get a perspective on professional wrestling that wasn't condescending. And it worked. I don't know that I took it in as much when I first read his stuff, but to read it now was very was great.
Yeah.
It gave me a beautiful perspective
on that.
Let me see
that. This is, so what you can't see at home is that Mark is
holding Roland Barthes.
Holding Roland Barthes' Mythologies, which is something I have not read
1957.
Since college.
Right. So I read the I think it's The Art of Wrestling, maybe is the name of the essay. But could you please, as a teacher now, to me, put Walter Benjamin in perspective? Well, I mean, I got the books up there, and I'm a little obsessed with cultural theory. I'm not so much obsessed with lit theory, and I've always wanted to be able to read it with some success, but I can't penetrate him.
No, he's pretty opaque. I mean, Barthes, I think, is fun to read.
It's great.
I call him Barthes because he's my pal.
Sure.
It's my little nickname for him. You know, so the takeaway from him, for me always, was the author is dead.
From
Barthes. That was his whole thing in terms of how you approach not just literature, but all culture, is that you have to, and it was very controversial at the time, you have to end the tyranny of authorial intention, which is to say that when you go and see a Woody Allen movie, let's say, you know, there has been, or read a book or whatever, there's a lot of literary criticism and cultural criticism was based around the idea of, well, what did the author mean here?
Yeah.
What was he trying to do? Did he succeed in what he was trying to do?
Yeah.
And what Barthes was saying with The Author is Dead is, stop it. You will never know. Any narrative that you create about what the author was trying to do is fake. That itself is a fiction, that you are writing around this piece of work in order to explain it and understand it yourself. Even if the author comes to you, like Marshall McLuhan in Annie Hall or whatever it was, and says, you know nothing of my work, this is what I intended. Even he is lying, because he doesn't even know. And that's what that's what really resonated with me, is that we don't know the effect. We go into a piece of work with some intention, but what it becomes
is out of our hands.
Comes out of places that we are not cognizant of. And that's one of the things that I understood in writing right away. And now I think understand even better. I mean, that's stand-up comedy, like, is formed in front of an audience.
Yeah.
You write it out, but then it becomes something else. The moment you're saying it, you're making new connections. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's growing and changing in that atmosphere. And you're like, I didn't even know what I was talking about before.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from a literary critic's point of view, it's kind of dry in the sense of like, so what you do is you take the text and you unpack it and you try to make sense of it intrinsically rather than try to write some paternalistic, hierarchical story about what the author meant. This is all boring. Throw that away. The important thing is that, like, you, not even you know what you intend. Do you know what I mean?
So that's the foundations of postmodernism.
Yeah, I would say, sure, let's say that. Yeah, I would say so. Now, Benjamin.
Yeah.
You don't have to read any of that stuff.
Oh, God, thank you.
This is
I keep a lot of books
here. I can only give you what I took away from that.
I got a lot of books here that I think in some day, that just by them sitting there, I'll understand them.
Fight your way, if you can, through art in the age of mechanical reproduction.
That's the one.
That's the one. And that basically is saying that, Benjamin was talking about a time when mechanical reproduction meant, you know, printing presses.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And copies and,
sure.
and mass copies.
Nostalgic.
And in particular, sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
That you can mass produce a piece of sculpture with a mold.
Yes, exactly. So.
Got it.
Yeah. And so, what were the problems with that?
Yeah.
He was talking about nostalgia to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what does it mean when art, you know, there used to be art that was made and you would have to go and see it. You would have to go and reckon with it. You would have to go.
The one piece.
Yeah. There was the one thing. You would have to go to that one store in town.
Right.
You'd have to make
the truth
that
stores.
Pilgrimage
yeah.
to engage with what Benjamin called the aura of the authentic.
Oh, that's worth everything right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And, you know, we now live in a time when that kind of distinction is almost meaningless because we live in a culture that is made entirely of copies.
Reproduction Do you know what I mean? Is the way.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Exactly so. There is no degradation. You know, one of the things that Benjamin was writing about was the degradation of the copy. You know, a copy of a copy of a copy gets thoroughly degraded.
So digital killed that.
Digital, there is no more degradation.
Right.
Every copy, do you know what I mean?
Is exactly the same as the equal.
And if you are creating something digitally itself, like if you're, and I don't want to besmirch any particular form of expression, but you know, if you're building music on a computer,
yeah,
you know what I mean, that is not designed to be performed, then even the authentic, the moment of your creation, is almost identical to the copy that someone will get down the road. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. So that
compared to say, if you're singing into a tin can and recording it,
right,
that moment that you're singing into a tin can is clearly a different experience.
Right, but the actual digital product will keep its authenticity for whatever that's worth in a digital world,
right.
Ad infinitum.
Right, exactly so.
But I like the whole idea that, but you don't know or you don't remember, I don't know that we'll tell unless you go.
That's right, and he talked about photography was a big issue here.
Well, the photography's always been a big issue because if anyone can do it and there's no way to tell the difference
yes.
between each print,
right.
Where does it stand in relation to that concept of art, to authenticity.
Precisely so,
right.
Because it was mechanized art
yep.
That required none of the skills that a painter would have to go to school for years.
This is probably still an ongoing
fight. It
was
a technological art.
Within art critics' world.
Oh, yeah. It's a fight between if you're a musician or if you're a DJ.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
but also, photography was tricky because it was, you know, deciding the aesthetic integrity of an image. They had to break it into art photographs and documentary photographs, and then there's a whole school of photographers, of historians that think, like, well, once you manipulate the negative or you manipulate the print, are you disrupting the integrity of the medium? And then once they introduced, like, the Briney McGee camera to where everybody could take a picture,
right.
How does it hold up as an actual art form?
Yeah. Do you remember the Busy Bee? Could we go back to that now?
Sure. This is where all this stuff was dumped into my head.
No, I love it.
At that
much.
Time,
yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
I was sitting at the Busy Bee, probably, you know, sort of, you know, sweating over notes from an art history class, that was the history of photography. It was a year long survey course that started in the first semester at the cave paintings and did not get to the introduction of photography until the second semester.
And what Benjamin is saying is that the aura of the original.
Yes. This is important to me.
If anything, it's anti-nostalgic because he refers to it as the cult of the aura.
So it replenishes itself.
Well, I mean,
it's not nostalgia. If every time you go there, you will be confronted with the aura of the authentic, and how you take that in at any given point in your particular experience may be different, may not be different,
and that the aura of the authentic may not necessarily be critical or important to art.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Did that? I think I need a refresher course.
Well, no, I didn't have any real expectation, but I like the aura of the authentic.
The thing that always stuck with me from Benjamin was the aura of the authentic. That special place, and I won't necessarily say better or more positive, and I'm not making a value judgment. It is a special relationship between someone who takes in culture and an engagement with the authentic thing.
Yeah, I love it.
And that is all performance. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That's the charge that you get whether you're seeing a stand-up, whether you're seeing a play. Do you know what I mean? That realization that you have as an audience member that what is being sculpted in front of you is being sculpted right now in a very specific context that will not be repeated and the sculpture is smashed at the end of it. Do you know what I mean?
That's the best kind of performance.
Yeah.
And there are moments when that happens where, you know, either out of insecurity or laziness, sometimes one feeds the other, you know, where you don't actually record or you don't have some, it's almost stupid in the time we live in to not have something recording you at all times. We happen to be doing this on purpose, but I mean, if I'm going to go do a performance, why not throw something up there that's going to capture something?
Sure.
But those moments that happen on stage that I know will never happen again because they're so specific to whatever was going on in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, like, well, that was that and that was great and I can appreciate it. But sometimes you're like, why didn't somebody reproduce that?
Right.
So I could at least have it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way a lot of the time, but I know that those moments, those rare times that I do record something that I'm doing live.
Yeah, and it fucks you up knowing you're recording it.
Well, no, I'll go back, like, if I felt, well, that went really, really great, and everyone's in agreement.
Yeah.
And then I go back and I listen to it and go, well, it wasn't that good.
They were deluded.
It was actually, you know, there, because that is what happens in a, you know, I've been performing more and more this year. And I love it because that is what happens in a theater, is mass hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Like, they're also excited that you're you. I mean, there's a difference between who you were, you know, like people.
You know, whatever it is what it is.